The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is February 1st, 2026. We made it through January. It's cold here. I already talked about how cold the weather is on Patreon, so I won't put everyone, the Patreon subscribers, through that again. So if you want to hear more about the weather, join Patreon. Yeah, it is so freezing cold in New York, and it's very hot in Australia. That's the summary.
Yeah, except today it's not. Today it's like reverberated. No, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, it's gone back to being reversed, being cold and windy.
Reverted?
Like reverted. I've got a jumper on. I've got sweatpants on. It's cold. It's been so, so hot, like unbearably, disgustingly humid and hot. Whereas today I'm just like, what is going on? On my computer where we're about to record, it's got temps to rise. So, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's going on?
Mine are always like temps to drop. We're like, tomorrow will be 13 degrees colder. Like, great. My topic that I decided to chat about today because it has to do with Peep, so I think people will be interested, but maybe, I don't know. I just want to say that Peep is just not a good support cat when it comes to the baby. I think I've mentioned this before, but oh my god, she's such a nightmare. I said when the bassinet was in our room, it was horrible because she has to announce her entrance every step she takes. As you guys know, she loves to meow loudly with all her might. And she would just meow, 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 meow. And I'm like, please stop. But he was like a little baby then. So once he was asleep, he was like pretty asleep. Now he's in a crib in his own room. And we've been going through like up and down times with sleep. So pretty much every time I get him to sleep, I put him in the crib. I sneak out the door. And Peeps in the hallway immediately. Meow, meow, meow. So loud. So then I'm like, Peep, stop it. Be quiet, please. So she runs away. And then they also, Peep and Freshbutt, decide time to be nocturnal, crazy cats. They run up and down the hallway. Peep's attacking Freshbutt. They're running all over the place. And so then my problem is that I don't shut his bedroom door because... not to like go off a side tangent, but it's an older house. The doorknobs are like those old annoying ones that like don't work very well and they're super loud. Also because if I shut the door to his room, it gets so hot in there with the heat. So I shut it like halfway or I leave it open a little bit. And then I put like this blanket basket in front of the door to try to keep the cats out of there. But like if I'm not in there, or Mike's not in there, they're not really dying to go in there. So it's usually fine. So then of course the same night that they're annoying me to begin with, baby Jack, wakes up. I go in there, rock him to sleep, whatever, put him back. I'm rocking him to sleep, and I'm about to like stand up to put him in the crib. Peep clears the blanket basket, runs into the room, runs into the closet, and she's just in the closet. And I'm like holding him, and I'm like, Peep, get out. And she's like, meow, meow, meow. And I'm like, Peep, get out. I'm trying to kick her out without waking him up, trying to shoo her. And then she gets out of the closet, and she runs behind the rocking chair, and she's like, not like stuck, but she like doesn't know what to do. So again, I'm trying to shoo her out from the rocking chair, get her out of the room while holding the sleeping baby that I really don't want to wake up again because I just want him to go to bed so I can go to bed. And I'm shooing her. I'm like, Peep, get out. Whispering. She finally gets out. And thank God he didn't wake up so I didn't have to murder her. But yeah, it's tough. Like, and when you have a chatty cat and a little baby, it's tough. Especially when it's a small house, because I don't have anywhere to put the cats. It's not like tough I can be like, you guys are. Yeah, I can't be like, you guys are staying in the basement. I don't have a finished garage. I can't lock them out there in the Arctic tundra weather. So we're all just trapped really close to each other.
No escaping.
No. So hopefully tonight they simmer down. Friggin' nocturnal cats.
Too funny.
What about you? What's going on?
Nothing really. We're pretty quiet. Back to school, back to normal routine. Like, this is the first week that like all activities restart. So back into it fully, which is, I think it's good to have some normalcy, even though it's just the days are busy. But anyway, it's good. But I just want to mention one of our Patreons, Anna, she gave a really good recommendation for a book that I really enjoyed. So I just wanted to share it because it's been a minute on our, what do you call it, book talk, whatever it's called. So the author she recommended is Catherine Stedman. And the one that she recommended was called Something in the Water. And I audioed it. I loved it. It was, don't get me wrong, again, not super literary, but I feel it's so escapist. And I just loved it in this, you know, today's times, I feel like sometimes you just need to escape. So, and I was really, really, really well done audio. So I audioed that. And then I just audioed a second one of hers called The Disappearing Act. Probably not as good, but still very easy to listen to. Like, I would love to get in the car and just listen. So if you're looking for a new, or they are like, crime. They are crime related. Both of them are, I guess. I don't know if all of her books are, but both of these were. So I really enjoyed them. If you're just looking for something easy, like a good vacation read, just something to get you through your drive, your commute, really, really enjoyed it. Check them out.
I've been thinking about reading a book, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet. So maybe I can join in on the conversation.
I feel like, so I had book club on Friday night, like my proper book club. And it's again in a few weeks because it depends. Like when it's your turn to host, you can pick the date. So sometimes it's like 6 weeks apart and other times it's 2 weeks apart. So anyway, either way, I had already read both of the books. So I've had like a holiday from having to read. So I've been able to read some other things that are just fun, you know. So yeah, I recommend checking them out. They were really good. I have to find another audio. I was a few credits behind on Audible. Like sometimes if a book takes me forever, then my credits build up. So now I've only got one left. So I have to pick wisely something that's going to be good.
I know. That's like one of the reasons that's stopping me, because I'm like, I probably want to do Audible. And Audible is like still kind of expensive, depending what it is. And like, because I used to be signed up for it, but now I'm not. And I don't know.
I do find like as a trick, obviously we aren't sponsored by Audible, but I do find as a little trick, if you sign up and then you deactivate, then they send you a bunch of emails. In my past experience, usually saying like you can have 3 months free or three, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
it's true. Free. I think I've done that before too.
Yeah. So I did think, because the other thing I have done too is because for our holiday in April, I have bought a Kindle because I do love reading books, but I'm like, I'm not going to have enough space to take books. So I have bought a Kindle. So I'm like, I'm going to cancel Audible and try and use the Kindle more because I think I can get 3 months free on Kindle Unlimited or something. So anyway, but I will report back if they do send me any offers.
my scheme is my sister reads a ton of books. So we share like an Amazon account. So she'll have tons of books and we have similar interests. So I'll just read the books that she's reading because it's usually ones I'd want to read anyway. So I'm just like, she's like my library.
That's handy.
Yeah. And then it's good because, not to keep talking about this, if you want to do Audible and read on the Kindle, you can do that because then you can, if you have the Kindle version of the book, you can buy the Audible version of the book for way cheaper. Like some of them are only like $5. So sometimes I want to Audible the book. Yeah. And it's a book that she already has bought, then I can get the Audible for super cheap. And it does sync up, so you can like listen to some chapters and read some chapters, which is
That's interesting, because I would like to do that, because I like reading, like actually reading when I go to sleep at night, because I feel like it helps me sleep better. But then I would also like to do it in the car. So I didn't know that.
I can send it to you. It's called like Whisper Sync, I think, on the Kindle. Okay.
Good to know. I still haven't actually, I was so excited to get my Kindle and I still haven't used but I will.
Yeah.
I
am hot tip from me, the non-reader. I did used to read a lot though. Just life's crazy. Oh my God. Mike just texted me because he's obviously with Jack right now. He said, oh my God, he's smiling so hard at Miss Rachel. Like, no, he's only allowed to smile at me, not Miss Rachel.
How cute.
He is only allowed to watch a little Miss Rachel when I'm recording if he's being restless.
All right, I've got these
Patreons. Oh, we have to do the Patreon names.
Yep, so we've had a few new ones this week, and we are getting better. I made a note last week of where we'd stop, so hopefully I haven't forgotten anyone. But this week we want to thank Stephanie, Jenna, Melissa, Brooke, Amber, Megan, and I think it's Amory. Anyway, so thank you very, very much.
Yay, thank you for signing up and getting to hear all of our stories about the weather in detail and whatever else. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor. IQ Bar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel you need to win your day. The new year means a clean slate, time to transform frustration into fuel and power your day with IQ Bar. The Ultimate Sampler Pack is a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. You get 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks.
And if you're like me and you're committed to working out this year, it's so great. Make sure to rehydrate after your workout with IQ Mix, which is a zero sugar drink mix that hydrates with electrolytes, improves mood, and boosts clarity. The new year gives us all a chance to reset. Maximize your brain and body's potential with IQ bars, protein bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. The Ultimate Sampler Pack includes all three. I know I've spoken so many times about how much I love IQ bar products. My current favorite IQ bar is the almond butter chip. I love it. It's like it feels like a little treat. It's so good for you, so healthy, fuels me to get, you know, through the next meal, through the most of the day. I absolutely love them, and they're just, all their flavors are delicious. I haven't tried one that I don't like. And right now, IQ bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text CRIME to 64000. Text CRIME to 64000. That's CRIME to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Okay. So today we are going to be talking about the case of Liam Thoman, who is 22 years old. He went missing from Mont-Tremblant, Quebec. I'm sorry. Me and Olivia have just been trying. She's been trying to tell me how to pronounce that from a video. It's very, there's some French words in here, so we're going to do our best. But
I did French
like, comment
for a few years a long time ago. So like,
oh, excuse me.
But then I just feel like such a loser trying to speak with any French accent now. But yeah, Mont-Tremblant is basically the westernized way, I guess, to say it.
Wow, she reads, she speaks French, doesn't she do?
I think I know 3 sentences in French after my 2 years. My name is Olivia. I do not speak English. I do not speak French. Do you speak English? That's about it.
That works though. So we just passed the 1 year anniversary of his disappearance. He was on a ski weekend trip with friends when he disappeared. So we'll get into that. And this case was suggested to us by Olivia's actual friend, Emma.
Yeah, she messaged me saying, have you guys done this case? She said it's all over TikTok. It's a little bit eerie because today we are recording here. It's the second there. It's the first. But so today is literally one year since he disappeared. Interesting time. And I didn't know much about this case before. Maybe I'd heard a little bit about it, but it is quite interesting. And there's a lot of, I guess, CCTV, and like we know a very detailed timeline down to the minute basically of when he was last seen. So it's interesting in that sense, as opposed to some other cases where we don't know. We know quite a lot. It's just what happened after that.
Yeah, and we were saying it's kind of reminds us of the smiley face killer type of cases. Not that I don't believe in the smiley face killer, but the cases of young men at night, they're coming home after drinking and then they disappear. So. Yep.
The parents of missing 22-year-old Liam Toman have penned an open letter to the public, hoping it will jog some memories as the search for their son continues 10 months on.
We believe somebody knows something. And maybe they don't even realize they know something.
Liam is from Whitby and disappeared last winter during a ski trip with friends in Mount Tremblant. His mom, dad, and stepmom are making a renewed plea to anyone who was at Mount Tremblant Resort in the early morning of February 2nd or knows someone who was.
And we thought they could look back at their photos, continue the conversations, and it'll spark a memory of maybe they saw Liam or saw something that was awkward or something in the back of their pictures.
Liam was last seen on camera on February 2nd around 3 in the morning after leaving a bar in the ski village. He was captured walking towards his hotel, but there's no footage of Liam going inside. A month later, his wallet was discovered near the resort, leading his parents to believe something criminal may have happened.
So we don't know if he was going to meet somebody and something happened, perhaps going to another party, and maybe on the way to that particular area, meeting place, he was hit by a car, or he joined somebody in a car willingly and then something happened.
For the last 320 days, his parents say they've been down every rabbit hole. But there's one thing they know did not happen.
He's not a runaway. Mm-hmm. He was at a happy place in his life. All we know is he hasn't communicated. He hasn't used any of his social media, any of his bank account.
Along with looking back through your phone, the Toman family wants anyone who was there to check their car recording, review social media, check group chats, talk about it, and share Liam's story.
So we get into some background first. Liam Gabriel Toman was born in July 2002. Born in 2002 to Kathleen and Chris Toman. We believe he has one full sister to those parents named Kate. His parents later divorced, and he also now has step siblings. His father's new wife is Lara Toman, and the media have reported that he came from a big family. He lived in Whitby, Ontario in early 2025. Liam had graduated from Niagara College in 2024 with a diploma of electrical and electronics engineering. He had plans to begin his career in that industry. He'd been working at a resort near Blossom Lake in Ontario in the meantime. Kathleen said of that job, he liked it so much he stayed past the summer and worked until December because he wanted to just play golf and relax until he got his real job in his field. It was hard work. Sometimes he came back not so happy about how much hard work. She laughed at the memory. She said he enjoyed it. It was outdoor work and he enjoyed learning new skills. Liam's family and friends have said that he was very social. He had an amazing sense of humor, a silly laugh, loved McDonald's or sushi, and never said no to a good steak, especially one that he barbecued. Can relate. He also enjoyed skiing, golf, video games, car mechanics, and spending time with his friends. On Friday, January 31st, 2025, Liam and two of his friends, Kyle Warnick and Colin Lemmings, hit the road and headed to Mont Tremblant Ski Resort. This was around a five-hour drive or 555 kilometers in 340 miles. Some info about the area. Mont Tremblant is a city in Quebec, Canada. It's approximately 130 kilometers or 81 miles northwest of Montreal, 141 kilometers or 87 miles northeast of Ottawa. According to CBC, Mont Tremblant is one of Quebec's top tourist destinations. So Colin spoke to the media about the destination and said it just opens up and then there's the hill with all the cabins on the side of it and then the mountain just goes up. It's a pretty big eye shock for us because we don't see something like that very often. So the group checked into their hotel.
I'm probably going to destroy this, but it's called the Tour de Voyages.
It's like Toy of Voyagers.
And basically, I feel like I included the information about the hotel because it looks like a very nice place. Like, it wasn't somewhere kind of shady and out of the way. It looks like a really nice hotel. It says, ideally located at the base of the renowned pedestrian village and steps away from the lift, the hotel offers comfortable hotel room units and direct indoor access to Camp de Base Tremblant with its 12 meeting rooms, quality service, and well-appointed facilities. Like, there's a pool, a hot tub. It looks very nice, very central. Like, it's not somewhere kind of out of the way that would explain how all of this happened. It just looks like it's a nice hotel, gets 4.5 stars, central location, great sightseeing, dining out and shopping. So yeah, it looks fine, like very, very central. It just is, it kind of adds to the mystery about how all of this happened when he was essentially at his hotel, not to get ahead. But yeah, just to give you an idea of the scene where this all took place.
Like, he wasn't staying at a hostel.
No. And yeah, it was a nice hotel. I'm assuming they were, it sounds like they were all three of them were sharing one room. But yeah, it wasn't somewhere like you would think you would just go into the hotel and go to bed. I doubt there would have been, you know, kind of a big party scene or anything like that. It's just like a normal standard hotel.
Yeah, like families would stay there. Yeah. So there's a photo of Liam skiing on February 1st. It's him and one of his friends. They're both wearing like ski goggles, masks, helmets, so you can't really see their face or anything.
There's not a ski on the ski lift going up to the mountain. Yeah, but like, but I guess it's just, you know, there was a lot of like a digital footprint of this trip. There was a lot of posts and a lot of photos and things like that taken.
Yeah. On Saturday, February 1st, 2025, the men spent the day on the slopes. Then they had pizza for dinner and afterwards went to a bar for some drinks. The bar was called Lucille's. The night was freezing. It was around negative 25 Celsius, which is negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit. And around 11 p.m., Colin decided to go back to their hotel. Kyle and Liam then decided to go out to a club called Le Petit Caribou.
Yeah, that's how I'd say it.
And a little blurb about the bar says, Le Petit Caribou has held the best Mont Tremblant bar title for years. Considered by many critics and magazines to be one of the best bars internationally. Voted best après ski bar in North America 10 years in a row by Ski Canada magazine and ranked fourth best ski bar in the world by Forbes. Kyle would later say, we had a couple board drinks and then kind of split up inside. So Liam also filmed some footage inside the bar that night. It's kind of like exactly what you would think it is. It's just like a crappy kind of video of the inside of a bar that's crowded with lights and music.
I guess it does show you, though, it was very, very busy. Like, it's packed, like, you know, shoulder to shoulder in the area that he's filming. It wasn't like it was some deserted dive bar. This seems like it was a super popular bar that was absolutely packed on this night.
Yeah, definitely like club vibes.
Mm-hmm.
According to Google, the club remains open until around 3 a.m. Kyle has said that that night it began to empty around 2 a.m. And this is according to the CBC article.
I just wanted to add that in because there's a lot of, like, when I was going through and reading people's theories and discussion, they're like, no, that's wrong. But that is according to the CBC. It's still in the articles that is what he said. But I feel like there may be some discrepancy in that.
Yeah, I've seen that too in some comments where the time seems to be off or there's like multiple comments on it. So Kyle texted Liam and got no response, so he decided to head back to the hotel. So there's a slight discrepancy between the time in the CBC article and other timelines, like we were just saying. Other sources indicate that Kyle left around 2:30 a.m., but that there were still people at the bar. And at 2:45 a.m., Liam was seen approaching a group of women, but then another man saw this happen and approached Liam and said that those women were with their partners, and then the two men chatted for a bit. Kind of weird, but...
Well, it was just kind of reading between the lines. Like, I feel like Liam maybe approached the women to see if they were single, and then some other guy saw this happening. He's like, hey, don't just leave them there with their partners. But I feel like the main takeaway from that is that it happened at around 2:45, which is around 15 minutes before the bar was closing. So I do feel like this later timeline is probably the more correct one, that his friend left at 2:30. Yeah. Like, even though they were separated anyway, because he was texting Liam and got no response, so it doesn't seem like they were really together at the bar. Like, obviously, it was so busy, they probably just got split up and were talking to different people. But I do feel like this later timeline of the friend leaving at 2:30 is probably more correct.
And it does show you that, like, the bar was big enough and crowded enough that, like, he couldn't find Liam to, like, be like, hey, I'm leaving. Like, he texted him, didn't get an answer, and then he was like, all right, I'm just leaving.
Yeah.
So security camera footage showed Liam finishing a beer and playfully grabbing an empty glass off the bar. A bouncer grabbed him by the back of the neck and escorted him out of the premises. Seems dramatic. According to the CBC, Liam was seen leaving the club with two women at 3 a.m. So I guess that's after, like, when he got escorted out, he was seen.
Yeah, and again, this is another thing, another part of the story where people have a lot to say. Like, some people were saying he didn't actually live with the women. He was kind of seen, which we'll get into as well. But, so it's just kind of a weird like just a different, there's different versions of the story about what happened, and there's a lot of discussion as to which is correct.
Yeah. So as they walked, they passed two men fighting. Liam said something to them, but the two men apparently laughed because he spoke English. So at 3:10 a.m., Liam was seen on CCTV walking briskly towards his hotel.
And just to interject too, the distance between the club bar where he was at and the hotel is 220 meters or a 3-minute walk. So 220 meters is like 100 feet. Like I might be exaggerating. It's 721 feet. I lie. So but it's still not far. Like 220 meters would take you, literally a few minutes to walk. But yeah, super, super close. It's basically slight curve. It's not a direct straight line, but it's very, very close to where, and still or both in super central areas. It's not like he had to walk anywhere remote or anything. It was from one location in the center of the town to the other.
Yeah. I was just thinking to myself, like, yeah, that's really close. But then I was like, what was the temperature? Like negative?
Yeah, it was freezing.
11. I would not want to be outside that long in that temperature.
At 3 a.m. as well, like it would have been.
And what if there's a wind chill, even worse? So his dad said, we can see he's walking with purpose. His mom said that Liam was multitasking and that he had a mission. At 3:16 a.m., he sent a text to his father saying, meet me outside. But it's believed that he actually meant to send this to one of his friends that he was with, probably whoever he was at the bar with, I'd assume.
Yeah.
So you can see him walking outside. There's stills from it.
But it's an eerie photo because he's clearly looking down at his phone, like he's texting, he's just walking, he's got like dark clothes and like a white kind of striped hat on. But he is by himself by this point, no matter what. Even if he left the bar with women, it looks like there's no one else really around.
Yeah, there's not even
anyone else on the street, really. It's just him kind of. But it is well lit. Like it's not like it's pitch black. It looks like it's very well lit. But it is kind of an eerie photo because this was literally the last few minutes that he was known to be alive.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race to savings now at Menards. We have what you need to give your bathroom a fresh, updated look. Shop Menards' great selection of bathroom products from American Standard. No matter the size of your bathroom, American Standard offers a superior line of toilets, faucets, and more. Complete your bathroom update today with American Standard. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
So the last sighting of Liam came at 3:20 a.m. He was seen on CCTV near his hotel. He was speaking with two people who were later identified as seasonal workers. And those people would later say that they had a short chat with him, but that he didn't seem distressed or anything like that. So this info about the interactions from Daily Mail. The men of Hugo and Guillaume told investigators that they don't recall the specifics of their brief interaction with Liam. Last summer, Hugo told Radio Canada that he doesn't remember Liam being in distress. He said, if there had been an emergency at that time and I could have seen that he needed a favor, I know we would have helped him, obviously. Hugo told the Daily Mail that he is no longer speaking publicly about his interaction with Liam. He said, I don't want to get in any more trouble, he said without elaborating. The other guy, Guillaume, did not respond to a request for comment. So interesting about, like, doesn't want to get into trouble. Maybe the police don't want him to talk about it, but I don't see why. So there's no footage of Liam entering the hotel. Instead, he went to the side of the hotel, and he hasn't been seen since. His phone, bank accounts, and social media have not been accessed since he sent that last text message.
So as we mentioned, there is the first still CCTV of him out in the street, and it's all well lit. Whereas when he goes down what I assume is the side, it is darker. Like, it looks like it's like kind of an alleyway type scenario. There is still some light. It's not pitch black, but it's definitely not as well lit. It's what you would expect of an alleyway once you get off the main, I guess, thoroughfare.
Mm-hmm. According to Reddit, Liam's phone remained active and online until 6:24 p.m. on Sunday, February 2nd, 2025. This information is cited as coming from Liam's dad. When Liam's friends realized that he had not returned to the hotel, they assumed that he had slept somewhere else. They started calling him again and again in the morning. His friend Kyle said, "I called once every hour, and then after a couple hours, I was calling him twice an hour. I started calling him three times an hour, and 20 calls later, we're like, okay, maybe something's up." His friends did hit the slopes that day, likely assuming that Liam would turn up. But when he hadn't shown up by the end of the day, they contacted his family and authorities.
I've seen a lot of people side-eyeing the friends about this decision. I don't really think it's that strange. Like, they, you know, he was at a bar. He was probably talking to women or, you know, maybe looking for a hookup. I don't know, whatever. But I don't think it's unreasonable of them to assume that either he'd gone somewhere else to party and had slept there, or he'd maybe met someone and had stayed the night. Like, I just feel like that is what maybe he wanted to do and they knew that. So I just feel like, you know, I don't think it's that unreasonable that that's what they did.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's weird at all. The men contacted Liam's family just before 6 p.m. on February 2nd. His father, Chris, has spoken about the call. He said, this quote, "I said, we need to talk to the police. We need to talk to the resort. Like, you know, we don't know where he is." Kathleen has spoken about hearing the news from Chris. She said, As soon as I saw it, it was a phone call, not a text. I knew. My stomach dropped. Something's wrong. I knew immediately something was horrifically wrong." It's so true about phone calls sometimes.
Yeah.
Kathleen says it was unusual that Liam had not texted her all day. She said, "We just thought he was on the ski hill." She said, "That day he was texting on the slopes. He was sending pictures. He was texting me that night at 11 at the bar. We were joking about the cold and getting new ski wear." Chris, along with his current wife, Lara, and Kathleen, drove through the night during a snowstorm to Tremblant. Lara told the media, "I couldn't believe how fast, but how long it felt as well." The group arrived in the area at around 4 a.m. on February 3rd. Kathleen and Lara have said they shared the same thought. "Kathleen and I looked at each other and we said, 'He's not there. We know him.'" So this is a quote from Lara. "Kathleen and I looked at each other and we said, 'He's not here. We know him.' That sits in my mind still. He's not in the snow. He's not here." Do they just mean they had like a...
like a sixth sense almost?
Maybe? Yeah.
They just
okay, that's what I thought they were saying.
Like, he'd been taken away from the area is what I took from that.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking they meant too. Kathleen added, "We just couldn't fathom it. We were numb. We were completely numb with shock." The search for Liam lasted 12 days. Authorities used horses and dogs as well as ATVs, snowmobiles, and helicopters to try to find him. There's a map that shows all the different areas that searches occurred, and it's like a very covered looking map.
So I'm assuming
there's a lot of searches.
There's a bunch of colors, so I'm assuming each color is representative of the type of search. Like the orange, I'm assuming, is probably the helicopter. There's a waterway there. I'm assuming it probably would have been frozen by that point, but they did search that. I'm assuming, you know, using boats or whatever they used, but they did cover a very, very, very large area, like an area that you would find hard to believe that someone could get to in those temperatures and with that much snow. But it does seem like it was a very thorough, widespread search.
Yeah. Mont-Tremblant resident Sylvie Blaze told the media, "The helicopter was flying so low, it was almost in my living room." The owner of Mont-Tremblant Cruises turned his daily dog walks into a months-long systematic search for Liam. The community reached out and tried to support Liam's family. Kathleen said, "It gives you, I know it's like a cliche, but faith in humanity." Liam's family said that they were not aware of any mental health struggles that he was going through at the time that may have caused him to vanish. His father said he wasn't depressed. He was in a great state of mind. but no trace of Liam was ever found.
So the snow finally started to melt at the end of March 2025. On March 22nd of last year, a resort worker found Liam's wallet. His driver's license, credit card, and hotel access card were still inside. And I did find that interesting because why was he trying to message the friend saying, basically, meet me outside? Maybe he thought he'd lost his key, but his key was still in the wallet when it was found, which is
interesting. I couldn't decide if he was like trying to text one of his friends that was like at the hotel to meet him outside, or his friend that left the bar, because he wouldn't have known that his friend left the bar already because he tried getting in contact with him and he couldn't. So yeah. Was he texting the friend that was at the bar to meet him outside? I feel we don't know.
Or I guess the other option is he could have been texting someone totally different. Like maybe he thought he was texting a female, or maybe someone if he was looking for, say, drugs. I don't know. Like there's a whole bunch of speculation about this, but I thought one of the reasons why he may have been trying to text his friend was to say, because he didn't think he had a key to get in. But then there's all these other comments online too, that the hotel has 24-hour reception, so even if he'd lost his key, he could just go in and get another one coded. So just an interesting aspect was that his key was found in his wallet. After that discovery, authorities searched for Liam again and nothing more was found. They also conducted additional searches in April and November of 2025. Kathleen said, when you're in this situation, you don't know what you need to do. You're not an investigator. You're not the police. You give all your hands to the police. You trust they know everything. So you just want to, you have to do something. You can't sit still. She went on to say, you have to keep going and pushing to find any means to solve this because it's such a mystery. It doesn't make sense. None of the pieces make sense in your mind. You cannot rest. She also said, you spend so many days busy and doing and coordinating, and then there's days where you're just crawled up in a ball doing nothing. And then you go, my gosh, we'll have to keep going for Liam. Liam wouldn't want to see me like this. Oh my gosh, he'd want me to keep fighting and keep going and looking and investigating. So then you focus on the fact of what you're doing, and you get up and you go. So the Quebec Provincial Police, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce, but their abbreviation is SQ, which is what we'll call them, gave a statement about the case to the CBC. They said, when doing an investigation about missing persons, everything is on the table. It's a disappearance that's pretty rare. And they spoke, that was in relation to basically why there's just so little evidence about what happened to Liam after he was last seen on CCTV. The spokesperson said, it's important for the public to think the unthinkable. Any shred of information can be crucial. So Liam's father, Chris, has told the media that he believes Liam was the victim of a criminal act. He said somebody else was involved. It could be an accident. It could be something that escalated. Liam is not where he wants to be. We don't know if someone set him up or there was a robbery that went a little sideways. We feel in our hearts that somebody else is involved. So Sergeant Catherine Bernard of the SQ told the media that investigators have not concluded that foul play was involved, but they also really haven't said that it wasn't. They just, you know, they're keeping all their options open. They haven't made a ruling either way. The sergeant said all hypotheses are being explored and added that the police force continued to seek information from the public.
Are criminals really going to be out there in negative 11 degree weather? Like, I just can't get past it.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too, but like, maybe if it was a fight and he hit his head or something like that. But if it was drugs, like, is someone really going to kill him over the amount of drugs he was probably wanting to buy or whatever? I just think, I don't know. And he had his wallet. Like, he didn't have his wallet, but like, his wallet was found right near the hotel. So I don't know. That, like, people, apparently he had his wallet at, like, there was questions about, did he lose his wallet at the bar and maybe someone discarded it and
no,
all these
made
other
it
questions.
Back.
Yeah. July 2025 marked Liam's 23rd birthday and his family made tributes for him. Chris wrote, you are more than the silence, more than the missing. Not a day goes by that we don't think of you. Our hearts ache not knowing where you are or what happened. He went on to say, we pray every day that someone somewhere will come forward to bring you home where you belong. We will never give up on finding you. Kathleen wrote, there are no words to fully capture how much you are loved, how much you are missed, or how fiercely we hold on to the hope that you will come home. You're always with me in my thoughts, in my heart, in every moment. Your smile, your spirit, and your kindness continues to shine in all of those who love you. We will never stop searching for you. We will never stop believing that one day we'll bring you home. So I think that you can tell now that his family have been very open and vocal with the media still to this day. Like, as we mentioned, today literally is pretty much the anniversary of the disappearance. Kathleen spoke about the experience. She said, we're in trauma, continuous trauma. You don't cope with it and you take it hour by hour. She said, I still can't even digest the thought that Liam is missing. It's surreal. Liam's father, Chris, says that he spends time every day in Liam's bedroom. He says they are suffering ambiguous grief because they do not have closure. Mm-hmm. He said, we don't know what's happened. We don't think it's a positive outcome. So if you haven't heard of the term ambiguous grief, it's basically a loss, like he said, where there is no closure. It's a missing person that you know is likely to be deceased, or it's just basically where you don't know the exact outcome, but you are still grieving for that person for whatever reason. So February 2nd, 2026 marks the 1 year disappearance of marks the 1 year anniversary of Liam's disappearance. The SQ have set up a command post near the hotel that Liam had been staying at. They said they'd hoped the timing of the setup might jog someone's memory. It reminds me a little bit of the Daniel Morecambe episode that we did where they set up the same type of thing. They set up what he had been wearing and like a mannequin so that if anyone...
I was thinking of that too. I can't remember what case it was.
Yeah. So like basically anyone who'd been in the area, they set it up. So maybe they would be like, oh yeah, I did see him. I saw him walking down the street or down the road mm-hmm. at that time or whatever. SQ Sergeant Mark Tessier said the goal was to meet with tourists and regulars who make an annual trip to the resort. He said, we think it's important to be there on the same weekend that he was there. Maybe you have some people that went during the same weekend last year and they're coming back, which I think is a very clever thing because there are a lot of people who do that. They book the same accommodation every single year. They go for the same weekend. And even if it's not the exact same timing, it might be similar. So I think that was quite a clever tactic.
Yeah, I agree.
Kathleen also went back to the scene for the anniversary. She said, we're hopeful that maybe some visitors will be coming back from anywhere in the world and be reminded and hopefully come back with some memories or some thoughts that will help us move the case forward. She also asked that anyone who was around the resort in February last year look through their photos. She said that even the smallest detail in the background of a photo could provide a breakthrough. She spoke about the anniversary and said, 1 year, it's not something you want to celebrate. It's not something you want to acknowledge that it's actually 1 year, but you do want to do it for Liam. You want to say, this has been too long. This is a year. What is going on? And she also said that she hasn't given up hope of finding Liam. She said, deep in my heart, I know that we're going to find out, and how we're going to find out is through communication. We're going to solve this by keeping up the conversation and talking about it. Kathleen has said that she's still surprised when she talks to locals in the area that some of them aren't aware of the case. She said, as a mother, you're like, oh my gosh, how did you not hear about this? I live and breathe every second, every moment, every night. I can't even explain. She said, we have to keep pressing and pushing for this information because that one person hasn't heard yet. Chris, his dad, has said every milestone's hard, so we want that to weigh on somebody so they will come forward or get drunk or break up with a girlfriend or boyfriend and finally say, yeah, you know, this is what happened, and help break this. He went on to say that he doesn't want his son to be another cold case. He said there's personality to him and we want people to know him. He was very witty, very animated, and a smart kid, and that's why we feel if something happened to him, he would have found a way to get out of it, had a way to communicate or talk. So the family have a website for Liam called liamtoman.com if you want to check it out. And basically on there and in the media, they've released like an open letter almost to Liam. They've asked that people look at any photos, as we mentioned, anything from chairlifts, trails, the village, restaurants, shuttles, and parking lots. Ask for people to check their car recordings. They say some EVs, such as Tesla's, store video, automatically recording and storing surrounding actions. They want people to review social media posts and see if anyone was tagged in anything that night or anyone was in the area. Check your group chats or messages from family or friends who are with you that weekend. Talk about it when you're out and about. Talk about it with the people you traveled or ski with. Someone might have a brief memory of the night, and they've asked that people share Liam's story, you know, flyers, newsletters, Facebook groups, all that type of thing. A representative for the ski resort has spoken to the media. They said, since the outset of the search efforts, we have maintained close and ongoing communication with the family and continue to collaborate with the authorities. In partnership with the Toman family, several awareness initiatives have been implemented both at the resort and through our communication channels, and additional actions are being planned as discussions progress. They went on to say, Tremblant wishes to reiterate its heartfelt support to the Toman family and everyone affected by this situation. We hope your coverage will help advance efforts to locate Liam Toman.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race into savings now at Menards. Mastercraft makes great doors inside and out, building the highest quality doors in a wide variety of styles. Add beauty to your home with interior doors from Mastercraft. Shop our huge in-stock selection or design your door your way in-store or online. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Mastercraft doors today.
Save big money at Menards.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
So police know, as you know, they, as we mentioned, there's a bunch of CCTV. Police know that Liam was wearing a black and dark green Volcom snow jacket over a green sweater and plaid shirt, as well as black snow pants. He had on a black and white level wear beanie and boots. So very clear evidence of what he was last known to be wearing. There is a $50,000 reward being offered for any information that leads to the location of Liam, and police are asking anyone with information to contact the SQ. So I feel like a lot of people will be Googling this case this week, especially because even today I was looking to see just to make sure there were no updates. The only updates are that it's the 1-year anniversary and they've set up this command post and basically another media push to try and find Liam. In terms of theories, I guess the most, I don't want to say obvious one, but maybe the most likely one is that Liam was drunk and succumbed to the elements. As you mentioned, similar to the smiley face killer theory that men who are drunk go to pee and get lost. Obviously, it's in, sometimes in, they die in bodies of water, which may not have been the case here, but he could have fallen, for example, and may not be able to have gotten back up. I just find it unlike, like the only thing that makes me think, I think this is probably what happened, but then why hasn't he been found? Could he have gotten so far that he hasn't been found with all these searches? I don't know.
I wonder, like, I know that's the thing is because I'm like, he went around the side of the hotel. Maybe he really had to pee or something. So he was like looking for a place to pee. Cause that's what you and I always say, like they were drunk, guys go to look to pee or do something and then they fall into water. So maybe he was going around the side to like find a more private place to go to the bathroom that's not like in the middle of this like decent hotel area. And maybe he realized he didn't have his wallet at that point.
Yeah.
So he didn't have his key to get in. So he was like, oh, I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to go to the desk. I'm going to have to or wait for my friend to come open the door. Let me just like pee quickly now. And then it is very, very cold out. So what could have happened? Could he have fallen? But like you said, it's like a, it's not like it's this remote area.
And it's not like he could just, like a lot of the cases where the men go into the water, it's like a river or a lake in a city.
Yeah.
Whereas like I'll put a map on the blog if you want to check it out. But literally there's kind of this little central village and it is surrounded by, you know, green and forest and wilderness. And there is kind of a waterway to the left. But I just
don't. It's not that like close though.
And I think it would probably have been frozen anyway. Like even if he got down there, he may not have been able to get into the water because you would think it would likely be frozen in those temperatures. I don't know. But I just like maybe that's what happened. I just do find it strange there's been no trace of him. Chris, his dad, as we mentioned, doesn't believe this is the case. He thinks that something criminal has happened. Chris said he could have stayed out of the elements. We've tried to halt all the theories that he couldn't get back in his hotel. He said a lot of people try and help us and we appreciate the support, but we don't want them going down certain rabbit holes because we've been down all of them. So, like, you know, fair enough if he was staying in, say, like a more of a B&B type situation where maybe there was no front desk and he couldn't get in. But this was a hotel that had 24-hour access and 24-hour reception. It was a key card. It wasn't a proper key. He could have just gone and got another key coded. Even if they had to call up to the room, I don't know. Like maybe he was thinking they're not going to call. It's too late in the morning. You know, they're not going to wake them up. I've lost my ID. I've lost my car key, my room key. don't know. There could have been a whole thing. That's what
process could he have like just been so drunk that he like didn't realize that he could just do that. So he just like crawled up somewhere to try to like sleep the night, but it was too cold. Like maybe it just like curled up in a little area and that's why people can't find him. But yeah. Also they was his phone found or that's with him or
I don't think they've ever found the phone. I'll just double check, but the only thing they've ever found is his wallet, I believe.
Because if they have his phone activity, which it seems like they do, it doesn't seem like he was really trying to call his friends or anyone, though, to be like, hey, like if I was locked out, I'd be like calling my friends to try to wake them up, you know?
Yeah. And for his phone to have, so obviously he went missing, like it was kind of the night of February 1st into February 2nd. So his phone was active, though, according to his dad, until 6:30 p.m. that night. So that's like 15, 16 hours basically after he was last seen. And the phone apparently didn't move, or it didn't move much. It kept pinging off the same cell phone tower, which was the one near the top of the resort, I believe. So it was in the area. And then you would assume especially was an Apple phone because they don't last long, it probably would have died. So maybe he dropped it. But it's just weird that everything ceases at that 3:17, 3:20 a.m. Even though he apparently had a working phone, like, did he drop his phone? Did something happen? And that's...
Yeah, it's true. Maybe he dropped it. But you'd think with all the searching, someone would have found it by now.
Yeah, exactly. But and it was still not in the area. Like, I guess it could have been, like, if he was involved in some type of criminal act, maybe the person kept his phone till it died and they were in the area. I don't know. I just... It is very strange. The other main theories I've read is that something criminal happened, which is what his dad especially thinks happened. Maybe he got in a fight and he died and someone's covering it up. Did he go to try and get some drugs? Maybe he overdosed and someone's trying to cover it up. I just feel like, again, unlikely. Is he really out to get drugs by himself at 3:20? I don't know. Maybe. In the cold when his friends were back in the hotel room. Like if it was earlier in the night, I would maybe think that was more of a possibility. I guess he could have been trying to get drugs for the next day if that's what they wanted to do. Maybe he'd made a contact, but then would he have taken the drugs? I don't know. I just feel like all of these seem unlikely. And the other one is maybe he dropped his wallet and maybe his phone, and did he get lost and injured and while trying to find them? Again, I guess it's a possibility. Like I would think the first two is that something happened and he succumbed to elements, and maybe it was caused by him trying to find some of his lost belongings if they were lost. That could explain why he didn't go straight back into the hotel.
Yeah.
But I guess any of these are possible. His family do think it was criminal. The one thing that leads me to think it wasn't a straight out basic accident is that he hasn't been found. They found his wallet. Could he have really gotten so far that he hasn't been found? Despite this massive search, I don't know. There is another case that's kind of similar, which we were going to cover, which we may do at another time. There was another Canadian guy who went missing at Sun Peaks in British Columbia at a ski resort in Canada. And his name was Ryan Stuka. He's now been missing since 2018. So nearly 8 years. Again, the same type of thing. He was at a bar. It was like a silent disco. They had the headphones on and he left, and his friends thought that he was walking behind them and basically was never seen again. So maybe we'll cover his case at another time. But it does happen and he's still missing. So I don't know. It just raises a lot of questions when they're not found nearby, especially when Liam's wallet was found close to the hotel.
Yeah, I don't really think it was criminal. I still feel like it's some type of misadventure. Like just the cold being outside today, I know I keep talking about this, and whether that was not nearly as cold as it was there. I was out there for a minute with a coat. Like he didn't look like he was really wearing like that heavy of a coat. Like it was like winter gear, but like I was wearing like a heavy winter coat and I was still just like so cold. So I couldn't imagine like walking for like the couple minutes that he did, and then he went to the side of the hotel. Who knows what he was doing or how long he was doing something. I just feel like there's some type of misadventure. But again, like you said, it's weird that they haven't found him. But like we've seen stories where they don't find people close by. Well,
what about Terry Ackerman, the one that we did, and she was found in her own home? And I'm like, I feel like that was just because there was a shitty search or she was maybe moved there. But she was found in her own home 7 years later. So there are places where he could go, like he could be in the crawl space, for example, of a building or something like that. Maybe that could explain why he hasn't been found.
That's what I was thinking. Like, was he just trying to like hole up somewhere until he could get in touch with one of his friends? I don't know. But I feel like there's been so many times, like I can't think of specific cases, but I know you and I always talk about it, where we're messaging and we're like, oh, wow, they found them 3 years later, half a mile from where they were last seen or something.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people with very strong opinions on this case. I just picked out a few of the most interesting comments that I've read online. This is one we've touched on. It says, we've had cases like this in Boston. Young college kids head to bars, separate from friends, then stumble around drunk until they fall into water. And basically it says that they're usually not found to the spring thaw, which has already happened in this case. So I don't know. Yeah. But again, I feel like it could be that. Someone said, someone who was familiar with the area said, that's definitely strange. The village part of the ski resort tends to be quite small and relatively hard to get lost in. That being said, all it takes is him falling into a ditch or someone somehow going out of village bounds into the mountain for his body to be found. Someone else also spoke about being drunk in a ski resort. They said, one of my more shameful drunken escapades was at a ski resort and involved losing my phone, stumbling, cutting my hair, not being able to find my place, and laying in a parking garage, accepting my fate until I sobered up enough and realized my place was literally just right in front of me. Another one, this person theorized he dropped his wallet because he was drunk, tried to contact his friends and went to search for the wallet. Then something happened. Either he had an accident or found a stranger to offer him the place for the night, but ended up being killed. The only thing that bothers me is the fact that the hotel there where they were staying had 24/7 reception. This is also someone who's familiar with the area. It's a, quote, posh place. I come from there and the residents are not posh. Most people can't even afford to ski there unless we have employee discounts or connections. There are a lot of drugs and it can be a rough area behind the facade. The mix of well-off tourists and lower-income residents can cause a clash sometimes, although not usually to the extent that would result in something like this. That being said, we, in quotes, party hard, and after parties are common. Hard drugs, more drinking, dangerous activities, it can go further than if anyone was sober. So maybe, I don't know. I'm just seeing if there's anything else.
Interesting.
I do, like, I don't know. And I just think maybe if we're a month or two in, there would be a lot more, yep, maybe we'll find him in the spring. And I, like, even when we've done episodes in the past on men who were missing, but now the spring has been and gone, the summer's been and gone, you know, he still hasn't been found. By the time this comes out, it'll be over a year later. It's just very, very strange that there's been no sign of him. And maybe that does indicate that someone is involved and has moved his body or is covering it up.
Yeah, I guess. I was just thinking it also sucks because I know he didn't, like, really make it into the hotel, but it was just so late at night, whereas, yes, there was people up and partying, but so late that a lot of people were probably asleep. So for anyone to have even really seen him, that's already limiting it.
Yeah, I agree. This is the last comment I'll just read out. It says, everyone there has or knows someone who has the means or equipment to hide a body. Everyone is familiar with remote locations far from roads and trails. So maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I just lean towards some type of misadventure, but.
Yeah, I just think hopefully. It was a set of bad circumstances, him being alone and being freezing cold. It sounds like he was probably drunk if he was texting his dad when he meant to text someone else. He'd been known to be drinking at the bar. So I just feel like it was probably a set of bad circumstances and bad decisions that maybe led to whatever happened to him. But again, I wouldn't be totally surprised if there was something else that had happened.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what other people think about this one because there's just it's very mysterious. It's like mysterious and not at the same time, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just seems like there's no, like, he really just vanished.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. Definitely let us know what you guys think. Everything will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com if you want to read a bit more about it or see any of our sources. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at True Crime Society. We're always posting latest updates and cases and things on there. If you want to follow our accounts, mine is Steph Sum. I said it backwards, now I messed up. Olivia's is TCS Olivia. Mine is StephSum_, if you want to see what we're up to. And make sure you check us out on Patreon. We do weekly bonus episodes, and we do all the episodes ad-free, plus this main episode gets released a day earlier, plus it's just its own community. Olivia has, like, a book chat group where everyone is always talking about books and recommendations and stuff, which is pretty cool. So check us out on there. Otherwise, this all the same stuff you could share with your friends, family, anyone who shows a slight interest in true crime. That'd be great. Hi, baby man. I have an audience. And if you could share to your Instagram story, like what you're doing while you're listening to the podcast, we love resharing them and it helps us get the word out. So that is it. As always, stay safe out there. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
See ya.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.